So what is functional range conditioning mobility training? We're going to talk about what it is, and then we're going to go into, let's see if we can get this started here. There we go. So just talking about myself a little bit, born and raised in Tonawanda, New York. I have three older brothers, love sports, love mobility training, love strength training. We're going to talk about functional range systems, FRC, FRA, FR, and Kinstretch. Those are some systems that are created by Dr. Andrea Ospina. He is a physiotherapist in Toronto who created functional range systems, which is the system of training that we're going to be talking about. Systems of training that we're going to talk about today is internal training. So thinking about the internal loads as opposed to adding external means. We're going to talk about the scientific principles, procedures, and then we're going to talk about the assessments you can use in your classrooms, and then we'll do the actual practice. So I'm going to stand up and we're going to actually perform the practice, okay? After that, I have some resources and time for questions, and we'll try to stay connected, okay? So what we're going to do is first talk about FRS. So FRS is a mobility system. Mobility system to help basically improve each joint on their own. And then when you're able to control each joint on their own, you're able to control all of the joints interdependently. Basically taking a shoulder or a hip, and if you have a, let's just say, tightness on your left hip, focusing on that left hip tightness as opposed to going through maybe a squat as a pattern to improve that hip. So actually improving your hip by going into a hip internal rotation. So actually thinking about the anatomy and physiology. Dr. Andrea Ospina, who created Functional Range Systems, who has 30 years experience in physiotherapy, he actually taught in a cadaver lab. So he knows a thing or two about anatomy, but he does talk about dead people anatomy. And dead people anatomy is different than real living anatomy. And he likes to talk about his system as a bioflow. So we'll talk more about that in a little bit. But his the people that have used his training include the Buffalo Bills, Seahawks, you have the Lakers in there, the Yankees. Cutoff is Nike, on at UFC, so some MLB, NHL, and NBA teams. And then you have FRC, which is the conditioning part, functional range conditioning. Functional meaning intent, range meaning length or range of motion, and then the system is the whole approach. Functional range conditioning is what we're going to talk about today, and that's mobility development, articular strength, and neurological control. So I'm a provider, so I do teach functional range conditioning. I am certified, so it is something that I do like to teach. I'm also yoga certified, so I have experience teaching yoga as well, but this is a little bit different. So what is FRC? It's a system of training which applies scientific methods to the acquisition and maintenance of functional mobility, articular resilience, and articular health and longevity. Okay, we'll get more into that in a little bit. So what are the differences between flexibility and mobility? So you have flexibility, the capable of being bent, usually without breaking, susceptible to modification or adaptation, the ability to passively achieve a range of motion, useless range, and range of motion for which a person has no control. So basically, if I were to stand up and pull my knee to my chest, I am passively in hip flexion. Now, as soon as I let go, I have to hold it there. Now I'm actively here. So that's the difference between passive and then active. So passive is just the ability to be bent. Active mobility is capable of moving or being moved freely and easily. And the reason why that's underlined is because being moved freely and easily is kind of misconceiving, because that's almost like passive flexibility, right? So the ability to move, movableness, the ability to move physically, the origin to move, that's what mobility means. Okay? Now, when we look at, functional mobility, FRC takes the approach of, well, let's look at functional mobility, okay? People are kind of getting this word mobility kind of mixed up with flexibility, and flexibility is not mobility. Let's term functional mobility. So the ability to actively achieve a range of motion, So using flexibility plus strength and control. So that's what mobility training is. It's combining flexibility, adding strength and control. So it's a motor control component of training. It's internal training. You're going to learn anatomy and physiology. Your students are going to learn anatomy and physiology. You're going to learn how your body works better and how to improve each specific joint independently so that as a whole, your body works better. Okay, so as you see in this chart here, training is an attempt to capture passive range of motions and make them active. So what we're trying to do is take passive ranges and make them active. So typically when we work out, we work mainly in the mid-range. So when we're doing a bicep curl, for example, we're going very fast at the end range here, and then we're kind of squeezing at mid-range, and we're kind of focusing on that mid-range, right? But what mobility training is focusing on those end ranges, so extension or flexion, deep extension, or maybe supination and pronation. So we're trying to achieve this actively instead of passively. Okay, FRC looks to improve all movements by improving articular function or the hardware, and there are no correct exercises. So for movement, movement practices correct movement. So basically, if you teach each joint to be what it's supposed to be, or at least kind of floss each joint independently, you're gonna move better, okay? So it's not really, let's look for pain, let's just look for movement compensations, let's look for movement imbalances, or let's look for lack of movement or control. And now let's try to focus on that synchronously and specifically. So conceptual framework, they use all the same scientific principles as you would hope training should have. So progressive adaptation, which is incremental loads imparted on tissue results and adaptation of said tissue such that the load absorption capacity improves. Okay, principle of specificity, the adaptation is specific to the demand. So we're really getting deep, we're thinking specific about the demand instead of just all around. So as opposed to just getting yourself in, let's say, a yoga position, we might not be specifically thinking about a joint, where this is more specific about joint training. So bioflow, they use a term called bioflow, which is basically a term used to explain and conceptualize the continuation nature, the continuous nature of human movement and the tissues that produce it. So basically, everything kind of is interconnected. We don't look at these muscles as these separate identity, or we don't look at the muscles as something that's not working within the joint capsule, not working within the tendons. It's almost all one tissue. When you look at the difference between the joint capsule and the ligaments around it and the tissues around it, it's very hard to find the difference between what becomes, when the bone becomes ligament and when the ligament becomes bone. It's very, very, it's almost like the tissues almost interbind. And as you see throughout the body, all your body is kind of like bioflow. Everything kind of interdepends on each other. You have the diaphragm that goes into the psoas major. And it's almost like the same tissues just threading in and out of each other. So that's what they call bioflow. They use the term irradiation. We're going to get into irradiation today when we go through the practice. What irradiation means is a muscle working hard recruits the neighboring muscles. And if they are already part of the action, it amplifies their strength. The neural impulses emitted by the contracting muscle reach other muscles and turn them on as an electric current starts the motor. So for example, when I'm doing an overhead press with my right arm, if I were to just relax this arm, I wouldn't produce as much force as if I were to squeeze this fist as hard as I could, I would produce more force. So that is almost a way to create irradiation. So squeezing your core, so creating that inter-abdominal pressure, IAP pressure, really trying to think of the transverse abdominis, obliques, rectus abdominis, and thinking about all those core muscles and just squeeze everything together, that's called irradiation. So when you irradiate, you actually produce more force. So when you're trying to produce force, it's important to irradiate. Aberrant joint function, we'll get into aberrant joint function, which basically is closing angle joint pain. And this articular motion causes restriction and or pain on the closing side of the joint. So basically, if I tilt my head this way, this is the closing angle of the joint. This is the open angle. So notice that this angle is a lot bigger than this angle. So when I tilt my head, when I tilt my neck to the right, if there's a pinch in this right side, that's closing angle joint pain. That would be aberrant joint function. That is not good. That's something we might need to get checked. If there is stretch on the open angle side of the joint, so this would be open angle. If there's just a stretch, that's something we can work through. That's something we can manage. But if we feel something on the closing angle side, like some pain, that can be something that is not good. So that might be something we might need to write down. So when we're assessing each joint, and we're gonna go through each joint today through the mobility training, take off your socks. We're gonna actually move your toes as well. But we're going to move each joint through its full range of motion, and we're going to think about the aberrant joint function. Is it, do we feel pain? If it does, we're going to write that down. For each joint, we're going to write neck. Then we're going to write 1 to 3. How does it feel? 1 bad, 3 good, 2 in between. Okay. And then you're going to write some notes. Okay. Maybe there's closing angle joint pain on the right side. So you put CAP, closing angle joint pain, Okay. Just CAP for short, and then put, you know, right ankle, maybe some notes, open angle joint stiffness, you know, that type of thing. So you can kind of write notes as you assess. Now with your students, you're going to have to assess in their language. So bioflow, so this is an example of bioflow, muscle going into tendon, tendon into ligament, ligament into capsule, capsule into bone. Okay, this is just some illustrations. So here's like a cross section of anatomy of the thigh. And as you see, it's just all these bundles, right? All these bundles of muscle tissue, but each muscle tissue has thousands and thousands of fibers, and each fiber has its own stress strain curve. So if you're repeating, let's say squats or push-ups, and you're repeating these patterns over and over and over, you're repeating the same lines of tissue in those areas. You might not actually be getting all of the tissue you need to grow where you need to grow. So you need to ask yourself, what were we naturally selected to do? Okay, we were naturally selected to be hunter-gatherers. We were naturally selected to walk a lot. We were naturally selected to throw, run, sprint. You know, we were naturally selected to hide, seek, fight, crawl, you know, all these things that we were naturally selected to do. What are we doing now? We're sitting on our couches when we wake up in the morning and watching TV, and then we get in our car, and we're still sitting, we're at our desk, we're still sitting. We go for our 60-minute workout, we go back to our desk, and we're basically sitting all day, right? So now what are we doing? Now on a daily basis, how do you compensate for not doing what you were naturally selected to do? So we were naturally selected to be these athletes, right? We were all athletes, we were all performance artists at one point. And then technology and food and consumption and all this stuff happened. Now, what are we going to do to compensate for that joint lack of movement? Now, we're going to do that today. And we're going to give you a mobility program that you can do on a daily basis. So controlled articular rotations, which we're going to go into next. Okay, active rotational movements at the outer limits of articular motion. So the functions and uses, range of motion maintenance or maintaining joint health and longevity, and we're screening each joint. So we're able to write down right glenohumeral or right shoulder, closing angle joint pain, maybe it's maybe tightness when I reach my arm overhead, or maybe it hurts when I go into internal rotation, or maybe there's tightness when I go into internal rotation, so just write that down. So you can write a graph for yourself or a table for yourself. Rehabilitation, okay? So we can use this as a way to rehabilitate injury. CARS continue. So the prescription of CARS on a regular basis acts to maintain available ranges of motion, providing signaling for tissue remodeling to allow for maximal tissue elongation and range of motion maintenance. We're trying to maintain the tissue. If we don't maintain the tissue, we lose the tissue we don't maintain, okay? And you can't move where you can't move. Engaging training all articular mechanoreceptors on a regular basis. So afferent training, so we're sending signals to the brain and telling it we want to know that we can move in this time and space without getting injured at any time we want. preventing maturation of fibrotic tissue. So if we don't move it, we lose it, and delaying preventing the onset of osteoarthrosis or articular health and longevity. So that's what we're really trying to do with this practice. Recall that cartilage has no blood supply. It receives O2 and nutrition from surrounding joint fluid by diffusion. Okay? During movement, pressure expresses fluid and waste products out of cartilage cells. When it is relived, fluid diffuses back along with O2 and nutrients. So basically what I'm trying to say is health depends on movement. You have to move it or you will lose it. And so that's why it's important to have a daily prescription of carbs. And it's easy to say. So you have low level and high level carbs. So low level are passive carbs. Those are good for anti-inflammatory. If you're trying to prevent inflammation. So just very, very just easy, nice and easy. Very low intensity, level one, movement focus, conscious blocking, okay? Then you have morning routine or early rehab. So basically you wake up and you have a 10-minute routine and you set each day to try to get better at your carbs. So each day you're trying to get better at your morning mobility routine, but you're not overstressing yourself. Then you have level two carbs, which are articular focus. So maybe using some passive blocking. So maybe going up against the wall and then doing a shoulder car on the other side, or maybe getting into a lunge position and working on external and internal or shoulder rotation while you're in a compromised position. So using more radiation, maybe using dowels or tennis balls as you're doing wrist cars. So if you're holding on to your wrists, or if you're holding on to tennis balls, you're using that as a radiation. Then you can use those for warm-up and late rehab. So using level two carbs would be good for warm-up for pre-workout, pre-training, or you're using this late in your rehab. Now you can also use level two or three carbs for capacity focus. Now you're using active blocking. Now you're using carbs as training. So you can add load. I can add weight or a wrist weight as I do these controlled articular rotations. I can get my body in positions using gravity to make these harder. So going on my stomach and performing neck carbs would be a lot harder than standing up. So learning how to train. So using high central nervous system and high IRAD. Okay, not sure what that is, but I can try to figure that out for you. So the procedure, and we're about to go over this, you're going to inhale, you're going to trap air in lower abdominal region while breathing shallow. So you're going to use the law of irradiation. So basically you're going to inhale into your back ribs, trying to, you know, inhale, think back ribs on your inhale, hold it and keep everything nice and stiff. Then stabilize all articulations in order to restrict rotation in the desired joint. So we're going to make sure our whole body is like a gargoyle. Okay. So we're just stiff as a board, but the only thing that is moving is the joint. So when it's moving, I shouldn't be rotating my spine. If I'm rotating my shoulder, I shouldn't be bending my elbow. I shouldn't be moving my wrist. I shouldn't be using my scapula. I shouldn't be using my neck. So when you are going through each rotation, think strict. Think, I'm just trying to listen to his cues. I'm just trying to listen to the training. I'm trying not to do anything else and trying to keep your body still as possible. Three, begin articular rotation slowly, ensuring that it is occurring in the outer limit of movement. So you're really trying to look and try to examine the outer limits of movement. So you're trying to really go at the end range. So trying not to cheat yourself by going at a range that you're already comfortable in. So trying to go to your outer range. Now you're definitely not trying to go into pain. Now if you feel pain, let's just say I'm going in a shoulder rotation and I feel pain, then I'm just gonna bring my shoulder lower and go around that pain, okay? So pain is definitely something to take note of as you're going through cars. And then attempt to expand the circle with each repetition. So that's why you wanna do about 2 to 3 on each side. Today we're gonna go over 2 on each side, okay? And to save a little bit of time, but typically you can go 2 or 3 rotations each side. All right, so I'm gonna show you some pictures that you'll go home with. Here's the neck, and you have 4 different ways. You can do it standing, half seated, kneeling, or half kneeling. And we're gonna go ahead and get started. So go ahead and stand, sit, kneel. I'm gonna get some water, and I'll give you some time to get ready. What we're basically gonna do is
go through 12 joints through their full range of motion. And if you have a pen and paper, you can just put neck and then a line and then a cross and then just put any 1 to 3 comments, like 1 to 3, 3 feeling good, 2 feels okay, and 1 something doesn't feel right. And then you can write in some notes. So if you got a pen and paper, you can do that. If not, that's fine. Now look at the different options. There's kneeling option, which would be the hardest option because you're collapsed, but you're not gonna be able to move anything. That's why it's a good option. This one, you might be moving your hips. When you're standing, you're more likely to kind of move side to side. When you're seated, you're in a pretty stable position, okay? So let's go ahead, find any of those 4 positions, and we're gonna go ahead and get started here. All right. So standing, kneeling, or seated, we're going to squeeze the fists. Think of a green orb radiating throughout our whole body. We're gonna start at the core, and it's gonna spread to the legs, all the way up to the head, to the arms. We're gonna squeeze our fists. And then from here, we're gonna kind of spread the floor apart with our feet. We're gonna look straight ahead. And then from here, we're gonna bring our chin down. Rotate, squeeze the fist, don't let anything move. Rotate your neck, look over your shoulder. Look around and back. Try not to move your body. Look over the other shoulder. Drop the chin or scrape the chin across the collarbone. Keep going down. One more rotation. Bend, drop the ear to the shoulder. Extend back. Rotate the other way. And flex down. We do that 2 rotations the other way. So we're gonna flex down to start. Rotate. Drop the ear to the shoulder, extend back. Rotate the other way. Drop the chin across the shoulder, down the scapula, or down the clavicle, keep scraping it. Rotate, rotate. One more rotation, extend it back. Rotate it all the way back and around, and down. Good. All right. So I'm gonna go ahead and set up this screen so it's a little bit bigger here. All right. Is that a little bit better? Give me a thumbs up if that's better. If that one's better, or if you wanna see the PowerPoint. Does it matter? Give me a thumbs up if you wanna see, yeah, if somebody wanna give me some verbal some. All right, sounds good. Appreciate it. All right, so there's the neck. And what time are we going till, just to make sure? All right, sounds good. Perfect. All right, so that's the neck. Now we're going to go into the thoracic spine, okay? So this one you can do standing, you can do seated, or you can do kneeling, okay? So we're gonna bring the hands across the body like this, okay? And can y'all see me? Give me a thumbs up if you can see me. All right, so we're gonna bring the hands across the chest. Bring our chin down into our sternum here and hold. Now remember, when we flex down, we're not bringing our hips back. We want to make sure that our chin just goes down and over the upper body. We're going to hold here. And then we're going to rotate, bend into the side, extend back, rotate the other way, bend into the side, and flex down. Okay, from here we're gonna rotate, bend, extend back, rotate the other way, bend into the side, flex down. Okay, so that's 2 rotations each way. Let's go the other way now. We're gonna rotate, we're gonna bend, extend back, Rotate the other way, bend into the side, flex all the way down, rotate, bend, extend back, rotate the other way, bend into the side, and flex down. Now that one is tough because a lot of people are gonna bring their hips back when they do that, so it's really hard just to move that thoracic spine. So that's those T1 to T12, so that's our thoracic spine. So give me a thumbs up if you can still see me on the screen, okay? So our shoulder here, we're going to either stand, kneel, or sit. We're gonna try to stand up nice and tall, like we are like a Marine almost. We're gonna squeeze our fist, and then we're gonna bring our fist over our head into shoulder flexion the best that you can. Now, you might notice that your lower back moves forward. We don't want to use our lower back. A lot of people might cheat by going like this and pretending they have shoulder flexion. So you might notice someone go like this and then immediately go like that. That is a sign that individual shouldn't be doing anything overhead because they don't actually have the range to do that. So we're going to squeeze our fists. We're going to radiate. Inhale. Drop the air low. Flex the shoulder. Hold. And then we're going to internally rotate at the shoulder. So we're going to internally rotate, which means we're going to turn the bicep forward. As we turn the bicep forward, we're going to keep internally rotating at the shoulder. So let's just go ahead and bring our thumb out. So our thumb should be going down and back. So that's our internal rotation at the shoulder. And then we're going to reach all the way back into extension. Notice that the scapula is going to want to go along for the ride. So just try not to bring the scapula up. Try not to bring your head forward. That's half of rep one. Back of the thumb, going backwards here. From here, extension. And then we're gonna unwind or externally rotate at the shoulder. So the thumb goes up now and back. Circle it all the way around, all the way up, all the way across, all the way down. So that's one rotation of the glenohumeral joint. We're gonna do that one more time here. Flexion. Turn the bicep forward as you extend, internal rotation, back of the hand next to the side, and then extension, external rotation, reach all the way around, all the way up, all the way across, all the way down. Okay, other side here, flexion, internal rotation, all the way to extension, and down. Extension, external rotation, all the way around, all the way across, all the way down. One more. Flexion, internal rotation, all the way to extension. Try not to move anything else. Extension, external rotation, unwind it, all the way up, across the body, and down. Good.
All right. So moving on, we are going to the scapula, okay? Now scapula, again, you can do seated, kneeling, or collapsed kneeling, as is shown there, okay? All right. So from here, what we're gonna do is bring your hands at your side for option one. So this would be option one. We're just gonna move the scapula up, back, down, forward. And the rule here is that your fingertips have to stay on your side. So your middle finger has to stay on your side. It can't go forward, it can't go back, because this would be shoulder extension, this would be shoulder flexion. So we're thinking scapular retraction or rotation. So what does the scapula do? It elevates, depresses, retracts and protracts. So that's all we're going to do here. So we're going to first begin by inhaling, trapping the air low. From here, go ahead and elevate, retract, depress, go all the way down, forward, protract, up, keep the elbows glued to the body. That's going to be pretty hard part. Up, back, down, forward, up, back, down. Now let's go the other way. Back and up, forward and down, all the way down and back, up, forward,
and down. Okay, now you can bring your arms out like a mummy, a Frankenstein or whatever. Squeeze your fist, maybe like you're riding a big motorbike, squeezing your fist here. Body nice and tight here. Everything's contracted here, even the core. And then from here, we're just going to elevate the scapula, keep the arms straight, retract, depress, protract, elevate, retract, depress. And then follow that circle around. You might be bending your elbows, you might be moving your neck a little bit, you might be moving your spine. Try not to move anything and go ahead and rotate the other way. Just try to rotate the other way. Yep, good. So yes, that's how the scapula works. So we can train that scapula independently, just like that. That's a level one car. All right, so the elbow, you can do this seated or standing, okay? Now, we're just gonna bring our palms out like this, so extend our elbows. We're gonna pretend that we're going through like sludge or like thick dirt, and it's gonna be very hard to contract. So think that you have weights in your hands. And from here, we're just gonna hold, contract, inhale, radiate. We're gonna go ahead and bend or flex the elbow, pretend we're going through like molasses. And then we're gonna squeeze the biceps and triceps as we pronate or as we turn the palms face down. Keep squeezing as you extend the elbow. Keep squeezing the biceps and triceps. Keep squeezing. And then we're going to supinate all the way the elbows. Extend the elbows and then flex. And as you're flexing, you're going nice and slow, not going fast. Nice and slow, isometric efforts here. And then we're going to, pronate. Turn those palms down, keep squeezing, hold here. We're gonna reverse it, supinate and squeeze. All the way, supinate and squeeze. Extend, pronate, flex, supinate, extend. Good, all right, that was the elbow. Guess what is next? The wrist, okay? All right, let me see if we can get this going here. All right, so the wrist, standing, seated, again, it's adaptable for people that utilize wheelchairs, which is great. You get four different options, good for everybody, and you're going through each range of motion, and you can assess each one. All right, so for the wrist, you can do first a wrist check. Can you go like this? If you can't get your wrist flat like that, or if you feel like it looks like this, then you shouldn't be loading it like a push-up, okay? Because just think, your hands are in a 90 degree wrist extension position when you're doing a push-up. Think about all that load on there. So always do a wrist check before your students do push-ups. It's a good tip to mitigate injury. So from here, what we're gonna do is extend those wrists, bend those elbows at a 90 degree angle. Pretend you got a $100 bill here and you don't want anyone to take it, so you're squeezing as hard as you can. Remember, we're not gonna internally rotate or externally rotate the shoulder because we're only gonna move the wrists. So it's really important to try to think just wrist movements here. So we're going to extend the wrists. Fingertips facing down. Think we're going around a clock. Okay, the fingertips will go in and around the clock all the way up to 12 o'clock. Okay? Fingers are going all the way up and then all the way out, all the way around and down to 6 o'clock. One more rotation in, all the way around. Try not to use your elbows or shoulders. Up, 12, out, all the way around to 6. Now we're going to go the other way, two rotations. Down and around, all the way up, up, all the way around. Try to only use your wrists. Fingertips facing down. Feel that stretch. All the way around, one more. All the way up to 12. Feel that in the palms. All the way down, in and around, back to 6. Go ahead and shake it out. Okay, that was the wrist. All right. Now, for the hip, now we do have variations if you're seated hip only. So when we're working on the right side, I just want you to either, option one would just be hip axial. So you're just going to keep the leg locked, one unit. So try not to rotate just the ankle. So try to use the whole hip together. You're gonna go external and internal rotations. Or you can go into a seated hip stretch like this. Okay, and you can also try to lift it up, go passive, and play around with that. Okay, most of our students might be able to go to the next variation. So we have two variations here. Or we have a lot of different variations for the hip. So we have a standing version, we have a sideline version, and we have a quadruped position. So it's basically like getting to that tabletop that we're used to, or standing and balancing using like a wall or a dowel like this, okay? So for this one, I have to choose one, you get to choose one too. We're gonna perform the same motion. So whether you're doing it side lying on your hands and knees or standing, we're gonna all try to do it either your own way or you can try to copy me, okay? So I'm gonna go to my hands and knees. If you wanna go to your hands and knees and do that one, you can, or you can take one of the standing options, okay? So I'm gonna go to my hands and knees, my hands underneath my shoulders, knees underneath my hips. Now, when I do this, I can put a yoga block on my back, and if it moves, then I'm moving my back and not my hip. So when I move my hip, I only want to move my hip. I don't want to move anything else, so I don't want to lean or anything else. If this is too much on your hands, then you can go to the sideline version and do the same motions, okay? So we're going to flex one hip toward the elbow, whether you're sidelining or standing. We're going to open the hip up, abduct the hip. And then we're going to internally rotate and extend the hips. So we're going to draw a big circle with the hips, so the knee goes all the way around and touches the opposite knee. And then we're going to extend the hip, keep the knee bent, abduct or externally rotate and flex, and then back to one. That's one rotation, up, out, all the way around, back and down, back up, all the way around, forward, and down, okay? Again, if that is hard on your wrist, you can go to a sideline position like this, and for the opposite hip, I'll show you that version. So I'll just go to a sideline position. Think about fetal position, your knees are stacked, your hands are together. We're gonna open the hip up, keep the knee bent, toes up toward the sky, and then from here we internally rotate that hip, so the knee draws a circle back, keeping the knee bent, and then knee to knee, and then back around, all the way up, all the way toward the elbow, and then one more the other way, one more rotation all the way around, knee to knee, back, all the way around, up, and down. So for the hip, you can do many different ways. Like if you have a long hallway, students can put a hand on the wall and they can do it just like this. Now you're gonna see a lot of leaning and going like this. You wanna see if you can do this if you're standing and you wanna give it a try, pushing into a wall and you're only look trying to move that hip. So I'm not leaning, I'm not tilting, and so you're looking for that control in that standing position. And if you really want to challenge yourself, you can do that same thing, trying to balance without compensating, okay? So that's the hip. And those are different variations, and there's lots of videos on all of these. They're just called hip cars. Knee, you can do it seated. Notice that anyone can do any of these seated, on your back or standing. So you can push into a wall, hold onto dowels, or you can do this in the seated position. So you can follow the directions to any of these. I'll demonstrate the seated position. So I'll sit down here on this mat and I'll wrap my hand underneath my hamstring and I'll relax this other leg. If that doesn't work, remember I can do it seated as well. So try to do the same thing seated. You could also go like this while you're seated, okay? Same motions. Okay, and again, if you wanted to, you could do this on the back. So people with disabilities, some of these variations are crucial. But if you're able to wrap that arm underneath, push that opposite foot into the ground, remember, radiate the whole body, squeeze everything. For the knee, we want to see if we can move the knee, rotate the knee without using the ankle. So if you feel like you're moving your ankle to rotate, see if you can keep your knee and tibia moving together. And then if you can, we're gonna rotate in, which is about neutral, and then out about 10 degrees. We're gonna wrap our arm underneath. We're gonna go out to external tibial rotation, extension of the knee, foot goes internal rotation, and then bend. Out, external rotation, up, in, and down, out, up, in, and down, and then we're gonna reverse it. In and up, out, and down. In, up, out, and down. Okay, switching side. See if you can first externally and internally rotate at the tibia. Test it out. We go out, external rotation, extension, in, and bend. Out, up, in, and bend. Keep it in and up, out, bend. In, up, out, bend. Now going right into the ankle, you can stay right where you are. You just got a couple more. So the ankle, you can do seated or standing. We're just gonna take this shin. You can also do this on your back or seated. We're just gonna point the toes down, plantar flex the foot like you're gas pedaling the foot down. And we're gonna rotate around the clock like we did with the wrist. Toes follow all the way around and up. Toes up, all the way in, all the way around and down. Down, all the way around and up. Up, all the way around and down. And two times the other way, down, all the way in and up. Up, all the way around and down. Down, all the way around and up. Up, all the way around and down. Okay, other ankle, all the way down. Push the foot down, really use the calf muscle here. So really trying to find the outermost range, in, all the way around, only use the ankle, all the way around and up. Don't skip these circles here, all the way around, all the way and down to six. Down, all the way around and up. 12, up, all the way around and down to six. Other way, down, all the way around and up. 12, 12, all the way around and down to six. One more, down, all the way around, up to 12, up, all the way around, and down to six. All right, last two, go ahead and stand up. Whether you have shoes on or not, what we're gonna try to do, even if you have socks on, is you can take your socks off. We're gonna try to lift all 10 toes off of the ground. If you can't move your toes, you can use your fingers and passively stretch, and then eventually try to do it until you can do it without that. You can hold on to dowels, you can sit down as well. So from here, all toes are up. And then we're gonna piano the toes from pinky all the way to big toe. All toes up, pinky all the way to big toe. All toes up, pinky all the way to big toe. Now just the big toe up. Now we wanna really see how much dorsiflexion we can get of that big toe. That gives us a big indication of how much intrinsic foot strength we have. Because if those toes do not move, those big toes do not move up, as an indication that we are likely to have bunions and other foot issues as we get older. If the foot goes in toward the midline or toward the neighboring toes, it's also a sign of degeneration. So we want those big toes as far away as possible from each other, and we wanna try to separate those toes. So now go ahead, now just bring the big toe down and small toes up and hold for 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Small toes down, big toes up. Hold, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All toes up. And then we're gonna tap the big toe down. 1, 2, and 3. Good. All right, we're just finishing up here. So for the patella is the only joint that you're gonna move passively. I would try this seated. You're gonna wanna have all relaxation in this quad. And what you're gonna do is bring both those thumbs together, and we're gonna just push that patella in a 360 degree circle. If it doesn't move, don't worry about it. If you're not, don't want to learn it right now. It might be too quick. But what you want to do is try to move that patella in a 360-degree circle about 3 rotations each way. Now, I'm not putting any pressure on this leg, and that's why I think seated is one of the best ways. You can do it the other ways. You can do it seated if you like, but they're a little bit more advanced. And then go ahead and switch side. Now, if it doesn't move in a particular range, that's something that you'd want to write down and note. Okay, so after you're done with your training, you write down all the notes of all the joints that kind of felt like they might need some more work during the day. And now the last one is your spinal segmentation. You can do this seated like this in a chair. And what you're gonna do is think segmenting low spine to high spine. And you can cue that by tapping on the spine as someone goes from spinal flexion to extension. So I'll give you an example. If you want to follow along with me, you can. I'll start in cap or around the back in a spinal flexion. And then from here, from my low spine all the way to my head, I'm going to think articulating, segmenting spinal structures. So instead of just dipping like this and condensing all that pressure in the mid spine, what I want to think is I want to control that. So I want to go from low spine, cat flexion, to extension. So I'm going to pull into the ground, use my core, and then I'm going to anterior pelvically tilt those hips, use the lumbar spine or sacrum coccyx, L1 to L5, going from L5 all the way to L1, and then from T12 all the way to T1, and then the last thing is the head, neck, cervical spine, and then opposite direction, cervical, slowly drawing the chin in, and then thoracic spine, all the way to low spine. Okay, and so that would be a kind of a longer version of the 10-minute mobility morning routine that you can use. So these resources here that I'll send out my link for, you'll have access to, which is the assessment video, what you just saw of this. And then I have different 10, 20, and 45 minute routines. And then you'll also have this assessment that you'll be able to kind of utilize yourself to see what ranges you need to maybe improve on. And then also you can use this with your students as they're going to want to begin to learn how to control themselves a little bit better, because you can never have enough control. I mean, no one's ever arguing like, oh, I don't have enough control. Like, you're always looking for more motor control. So this is going to help athletes get themselves out of the way of themselves, because they're going to be able to control each range of motion and assess themselves each day and to tell the coach, be like, hey, you know, I did my shoulder curls this morning, something didn't feel right. So you're going to be able to communicate using this type of language, and you'll be able to understand human anatomy and physiology a little bit better, and so will your students, which is a really important thing. So here's an example of an assessment, functional range conditioning, control articular rotations, closing angle joint pain, what that means, what the 1-2-3 system means, and then going through each body part. Closing angle joint pain, all you put yes or no, and then you might put what side, maybe it's front, maybe it's back, maybe it's right, maybe it's left, maybe it's right lower. So be specific, write it in the notes, and then you could send this to your coach or your teacher to say that you did the routine. So having them go through this each and every single day as a unit plan and getting them to learn how to control and move themselves. And then there's a lot of progressions to this. So it goes a lot deeper than just the CARS routine. It goes into what I talked about in my last lecture, which was isometric training, which goes into a dearth of intrinsic mobility training, which I go over. If you want to go over my last seminar, you can. And other than that, I'll update you if you want more information. My mobility routine here, or it's going to open. Right here, it says my mobility instruction link. So that will take you to my videos where I have all my instruction. Okay, so
If you ever want to watch more like kind of kin stretch routines or functional range conditioning routines, it's like kind of like similar setup as yoga, but it's all internal isometric training. So if you ever want to check out these websites, you can. It's probably not going to load, but you'll have these links available. Okay. But I appreciate it, everyone. All right. You can email me if you want more information. I post a lot of my stuff on Dr. Jordan Weber on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. Yeah, appreciate it. Nice. Yeah, for sure. And there's certification you can get online. It's a good one. It's a 2 or 3 day. Would be a good one if you can get like a grant for that certification. I highly recommend it. But I also have like my YouTube page is just full of education. And then if you ever need anything specific, I can send you anything that you need. Yeah, see, I was a yoga teacher, and I was a bodybuilder yoga teacher, and then when I got into yoga training, I actually was getting too much range, and I wasn't controlling that range, and that's how I got my knee injured, and I was, then I got into the functional range conditioning, and then I was learning, like, oh, I don't need to stretch my knee out when it's injured, I need to get into that end range and work the tissues in that end range so I can redirect the mechanoreceptors so when it does grow new tissue, it grows it in the right directions as opposed to maybe not doing that one at all or just passively stretching it without any active input. So what I've learned is I've learned how to almost bulletproof my joints where my joints have never felt as good, and it's mainly doing, these every day. I'll do this. This is only 10 minutes, and then I add probably 60 minutes of the kin stretch types of stuff. You can check out kin stretch on YouTube, and people teach kin stretch all over Instagram, and it's basically just like active functional mobility training, and you basically learn more about yourself, and that's why I really think it's important for our students to learn this because they're not, yes, they're learning. I mean, I understand jumping and throwing is all really important, but what if they know what external and internal rotation is? What if they know how to fix their joints when they're in college so they don't have to worry about having to go through physical therapy when they get injured? What if they try to prevent that? Because I know yoga is great, but I'm a yoga teacher, but I'm also a functional range conditioning specialist. So it's not that I think yoga is bad. I think yoga has a place, but I don't believe it is functional mobility training, which is a lot different and which I think is really important. So you can also train the diaphragm and lungs like you would muscle, isometric contractions, passive range holds, that type of thing. But I have a lot more information on my sites if anybody has any other questions, for sure. You're welcome. Thank you so much. Hey everyone, today we're going to talk about breathing in the way that most people breathe and the most people should breathe. So many people think that belly breathing is the best type of breathing, right? We expand the belly as you inhale. Well, we're not actually getting air into the belly. Remember, air can only go into the lung tissue. The lung tissue are surrounded by the rib cage. And so the rib cage is the main focus of breathing. The rib cage moves the lungs. The lungs can't move themselves. The belly doesn't move them. The belly moves, but it doesn't move them per se. And the diaphragm and the intra-abdominal pressure and muscle surrounding the cavity of the abdominal wall, that pressure is utilized best when you inhale and externally rotate the rib cage. So the rib cage goes outward. And it goes back and it goes up. So the rib cage goes back and up and it moves laterally on our inhale. And when we exhale, the rib cage goes down, in, and back. Okay. So think about the rib cage coiling in and down on your exhale. And on your inhale, think about the rib cage moving laterally and expanding. Okay. So inhaling into the back ribs. Inhaling, expanding those ribs externally. And then when you exhale, internally rotating those ribs and letting those ribs coil down and in towards your pelvis. Now, this is really important because this is going to help align your ribs and pelvis better. So don't want to walk around all day belly breathing. You want to focus on inhaling into the back ribs, the back as a point of reference, not literally. Now, obviously we're not getting air into our, back of our body, but we're getting air into the back tissue of the lungs and the back ribs are doing the expanding. We want to think about that area contracting and really pulling the air in and out. So when we exhale, you should feel a sensation deep. If you cough, you can feel it deep within. That's your diaphragm. That's your transverse abdominis. Those are the muscles that are working your exhale. Focus on those exhales. Focus on those tissues when you're exhaling. And really think when you exhale that you're blowing out a fire.
like you're blowing out birthday candles, but something bigger, because that's going to help you push those muscles harder. And when you inhale, try not to let the belly rise. Try to inhale into the back ribs and try to fill the upper back as opposed to the stomach. Yes, you can breathe into the stomach and you can expand the stomach using passive breathing. There's nothing wrong with that, but that's not how you want to go about your day. You want to think about inhaling into the back ribs, exhaling, pushing those ribs down, and not letting that belly just kind of open up so that you're in that anterior pelvic tilt and your rib cage is moving up, back, and out. We don't want those ribs to flare. So we're trying to get those ribs not to flare. So if you have rib flare, this is going to help with that as well. So it's really important to align your ribs and pelvis, which is going to help decompress your spine at your lumbar and your cervical junctions. So this breathing goes more in depth through PRI and Flowbility and other techniques. But if you enjoyed that, hopefully you did, pass it along. And those are some of my recommendations when you're breathing. Thanks.